Hello, and welcome to the Healing Dreams Project, exploring projective dream work for your health and wholeness with hosts Billy Ortiz and Dr. Royce Fitz. I am the producer, Viviana, and today we're going to explore two of my dream snippets. I seem to bring a lot of dream snippets. So, here is the first one. I am in a forest waiting, but I don't mind as I'm delighting so much with watching the fireflies. End of snippet.
Okay.
Shall we work this dream first or have them both combined? How does the dreamer feel?
For some reason, they feel a little bit related. So yeah, I'll give the next one. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a dream snippet number two. In the dream, I wake up fearing that they are planning to dam up my favorite river, the Trufulfull in Chile, and when I return, I fear that it may be full of trash and people. End of snippet number two.
Full of trash and people.
Yeah.
And so I in the dream I wake up, or I wake up in the dream like lying in bed, and I wake up with the feeling that they're gonna dam Trufulfull.
It's within the dream. I wake up in the dream, and I fear that they are planning to dam up the Trufulfull. And I fear that when I return, the next time I go to Trufulfull, will be full of trash and people.
Okay. So in the first snippet, I'm in a forest. Is there any idea where I am, like geographically?
Both these dreams came to me while I was in Chile. And I spent a lot of time in nature in Patagonia. Mm-hmm. And probably just one of the magical forests that I was in, just or a, one that's similar, came through.
Okay. So there's a familiar feel to it. It's like a place that it would be a common place that I would visit while there.
So when I was in Chile, did I see fireflies in a forest?
No. Actually, I don't know if there are fireflies in Chile because it's a warmer climate sort of insect. And Chile is the same climate as from Baja California up to Alaska. And fireflies, you see them more in the East Coast, where it gets a little hotter and more humid in the summer.
You mean East Coast U.S.?
U.S., yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Much more moist, hot summer nights, right? And, okay.
Yeah, because when I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky, we had, well, we called them Latin bugs. But, you know, that's the only place I've seen them. Since I miss that. I miss the summer nights of having the fireflies. And yeah, so it has to be a particular kind of humidity and a particular kind of heat, I guess. Because yeah, they come out late Saturday summer nights from what I remember. Mm-hmm. So
I have seen them around here, and not in Colorado where I am, but up in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. along riverbanks. You know, hot summer nights, very humid. Mm-hmm. And when I was a child, we would see a lot more than we do now, which
right. Gets
into a whole lot of things. But in Indiana, where we live, summer, hot summer nights, I called them falling stars or rising stars, because they would rise up. Call them rising stars.
Oh, they're amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the theme of my second dream, where, you know, when you say that there aren't so many fireflies anymore, and I feel like there aren't so many birds anymore, and and there are so many people everywhere, and trash, and
right.
That's the theme of my second dream, my second snippet.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a lot less butterflies than what I remember when I was growing up too. Yeah, so pesticides, pollution, you know, climate change, all of this. So I would wonder, though, why does my dream come to tell me that now? If these are things I already know about the world, unless there's something I can do about it. See, that's the thing. The dreams always come in the surface of health and wholeness and help us to find the possibility for the change and evolution and growth that the dream is calling on. So I would ask myself that question. So tell us more about that river, the Trefoil.
There's a waterfall that I went, I specifically on this last trip took a visit I had never been before. I'd seen it on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine, another flutist, recently bought property next to it. So I decided to go check it out. And it's one of these magical colorful. The water is, it's like a glacier-fed lake. So it's that sort of teal blue. You can drink the water. It's completely clean and not poisoned yet. And it's coming down straight from the Andes. And we filmed a music video that I just uploaded yesterday there. And so I fell in love with the river and the waterfall. It was just absolutely spectacular. And there's a plot of land there that 3 acres that I want to, when I go back in May, if it's still there, I want to purchase it.
I don't know if the listening or viewing audience knows, but you are from there.
Yes, I was born in Concepcion, and I am lucky that I get to visit at least 5 times a year or so. I go down to play concerts. I'm going back in May to play as a soloist with the orchestra in Santiago.
Well, I'm thinking of it. I think it would be helpful if some of those dates were put on our podcast information piece there, so people can notice that and appreciate how lucky we are that you are a part of our podcast.
Yeah. Thank you.
I hear what Billy's bringing up about this dream, that I in my conscious self, I know and I grieve and I feel helpless and I feel frustrated and angry that this beautiful land is so vulnerable. And because it is beautiful, there are, you know, people are going to try to exploit it by moving there, and then people and pollution, which are sometimes, in my projection, the same thing, people and pollution.
Absolutely.
And so the dream doesn't come to frustrate me. It certainly recognizes what I know on my conscious waking self, that this is happening. And I'm wondering, what is this about that I have called the dream, or the dream has called me?
Yeah. Good questions to ask myself.
Well, if I were to answer that, I guess it's my immense admiration and love towards nature and realization of the time that we're living in is, I mean, since I was born, we as humans have doubled on the planet. And no one's addressing this sort of crisis. I see it as a crisis. And there's not enough respect, in my opinion, to the land and its beauty and all that it does for us in terms of nurturing and filling and fulfilling us. We tend to throw the trash on it and treat it very disrespectfully. There's even in the Tufuls a concern that they might get dammed up, you know, to use as electricity, that kind of thing. So it's again, and the fact that it's so pristine, the water's so clean. There's just hardly any river like that in the U.S. that you can actually drink out of. So it's I feel like I found a treasure. And I do in my waking life also fear that I might hold it for a little while, but inevitably it will likely change as well.
This river in Chile, I know how Chile, my pronunciation, sorry, is shaped. So where is this river?
It's shaped like a Chile.
It comes from the Andes Mountains.
So is that north, or is that
no? The Andes is the backbone of all South America, and it divides Chile with Argentina.
Oh, so it's follows that border. Gotcha.
Yeah, and I would say that the location of this is sort of halfway down. Chile is 2,000 miles long as the States is wide. Chile is long. So it's huge, long ways. And I would say it's about halfway in the middle.
Thank you. So I'm going to gestalt a little of this dream. In addition to the dream having some literal aspects that are being lifted up, forests, fireflies, a wonderful river, and my homeland. I'm also wondering who I am in the midst of this. In the beautiful gestalt sense, I'm the forest, I'm the fireflies, I am the river, I am what I fear, I am pollution, I am people, and I am a dam. And so if I look within myself and wonder, then I begin to also hold the possibility, and I'm basically free associating here, what do I fear that I might be damming up inside myself?
Right.
And or what is being damned in me, in my, because this river is gorgeous. I'm gorgeous. I have beautiful energy. I have a beautiful flow. I'm very creative. And how might I be accidentally on the road to polluting myself? What speaks to me in that? If the language of the forest, the language of the river, the language of the water or the Andes, that's all me. How am I experiencing these anxieties?
When I first moved to California, I felt the same magic with California. But after 26 or 7 years. Now I feel that it's overpopulated and I feel that there's trash everywhere. And that's what's being dammed up. I'm not, the skies are full of airplanes and just so much pollution, noise pollution, visual pollution, just pollution everywhere. So I do feel dammed up in that way here in California. And I am and have been looking for another place to land and to call a place to call home, or a place to sort of to find another creative space to hang out in.
So in my version of what I hear my friend Royce saying is to take the opportunity to see it more of as a metaphor of what's happening inside as well, not so much my actual waking life physical space, because that's certainly a desire that I have as a dreamer, to find a more secluded, pristine, not so populated area. However, how is that translate into what's happening in my heart, what's happening in my spirit, and you know, creatively, I keep mentioning that I can drink the water directly from the river. So there's something about the life force energy in my version of it that is coming through so clear and clean. It's even more nurturing and even more life sustaining. However, there's a fear that this is going to be dammed and then polluted. So what part of me and my life force energy is interior and on the interior layer, what's running the risk? What am I fearing that might be metaphorically dammed up?
What am I fearing that might be metaphorically dammed up? I just know that almost everywhere, even Bora Bora, which is so pristine, every time I go back, I feel like it's more noisy, more cars. Everywhere I go back to, it's. But when I go back, it's not as good as the first time. Mm. I guess it's just the time that I'm here on the planet. It's just the way it is, and it's a constant disappointment for me.
I hear two things here in my dream. One, I want to remind myself that when I have a dream, I really don't know where the dream wants to go. I don't know, as I work on the dream, where the dream is taking me in this flow. And I may be surprised or embarrassed or shocked or taken back or afraid. So I need to say that. That it feels important. Another part is this reality that I live in, and that the dream is lifting up for me, is my world is truly suffering. The earth is experiencing great change and suffering. And one example, of course, are the fireflies. And it's like everywhere I go, there can be beauty, there can be awesomeness, and there is. And then I leave and go back, and it's like, oh, it's shifted again. Like, this is really out of control. I can be a doomer if easily in looking at the trajectory of our earth and what might happen soon, what might happen in 200 years. It doesn't look pretty. And so I carry grief, and I believe in the kind of the beautiful existential sense that the earth is grieving as well, that in our deep organicity of connection, we are all grieving. So I think sometimes dreams do come to grieve, to hold the grieving of all of the elements that are in our waking and sleeping worlds. And that it, and you know, it's not like I'm supposed to fix that. I can't, except I'm a molecule with the earth, with the universe in this moment. And so I feel this is happening all the time. So there is a helpless aspect in this dream, right alongside the beautiful. So if I also look at the molecule that is me in the dream, that everything is me, what do I need to do to look at the damming up? You know, how is my spirit sometimes damned up or runs the risk of being damned up? Maybe by outside forces, and because in the dream it's like, you know, engineers, governments, people, etc. Capitalism is going to do this to this beautiful spot of earth. How do I experience some version of that in myself? And so I'm struggling with this people and pollution aspect. How do I feel polluted? How do I cause my pollution? I can't change the external world very well, but I am a molecule. How do I notice that within myself? And perhaps the dream is, you know, asking me that. What do I need to do to nourish myself in a new way, or to challenge some of the powers that that scared me.
I'm sorry, I dropped.
Are we okay?
I just dropped something.
Are we okay?
Everything's fine.
So the dream energies are causing these disruptions, you know, even in our podcast. Well, anyway, Viviana, where does this take you in your own? Well, let me rephrase that, because where does that take me as the dreamer? And how does my dream friend Viviana hold this?
I often feel like in a parallel universe, if there were to be such a thing, it's similar to how the indigenous people may have felt with these new people coming in and taking over everything.
Right.
And I did read recently a book written by a woman, one of the first women, Native women, North American, to write, to be an author. And she said her mother would curse the lights that she'd see in the distance. Like, she just didn't like seeing all the lights because they were coming in, the white man would bring all the lights, and they were just fires. Mm-hmm. They just weren't used to seeing so many lights in the distance. That seems a lot less intense, but it's like the volume is just keeps getting turned up and turned up. And in Chile too, they, you know, the indigenous people also had their lands taken away, and I just have to say, the way I thrive in super nature, supernatural frequencies in nature, and I don't like cities. I've never liked cities. I don't even like towns. I like silence, and I like animals and just super nature. So I'm always looking, and I am looking for a place to relocate. Where am I feeling damned up? It's just that I need to be in an extreme, like, not just oh, a pretty scene or a field or something. I need intense nature, like mm-hmm. with this crystal waters and fireflies. It's just absolute magic is what nourishes me.
Well, I think I would wonder, how might I be damning myself?
By complaining so much about it, yes.
By complaining?
I complain every day. Yes, I don't like all the airplanes that are constant, or the neighbors and the dogs, and the, oh my God, they're just, everybody's so noisy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I should not complain so much. And maybe just breathe into it, because it's just, it's inevitable, it seems to be.
Yeah. So I was going to go back to the first snippet for a second, because it says, I wrote down, I'm in a forest waiting, but I don't mind because I'm delighted by so many of the fireflies, because I'm delighted by watching the fireflies. Do I have any idea what I'm waiting for in the forest?
It's just that feeling of having to wait. Which reminds me of another dream in the past, perhaps from the podcast, where often waiting comes with frustration in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm waiting, but I don't mind because I'm in a forest and then I have the fireflies. So it's actually fun.
Yeah.
But normally waiting in my life I would probably view it or feel it more as a frustration.
Well, the metaphor of the forest comes into, of course, many of the fairy tales and stories, and it happens to be the universal metaphor for the unconscious, because when I go into the forest, I don't know exactly what to expect. Maybe there's animals, maybe there's not. Maybe there's going to be water, maybe there's not. So I don't know. And every time, so the idea of in the fairy stories is that the hero or heroine of the story is put into the forest for a reason, because it's outside of the known. It's not a place, it's going to be unpredictable. So I'm looking at it from that sense, that the forest is the representation of my unconscious as the dreamer. And more than that, the collective unconscious of humankind. So there's something about this waiting that's very intriguing to me. I don't know what I'm waiting for. However, I see these wonderful fireflies. So if I didn't know what a firefly was, how would you describe it to me?
Mm-hmm. Well, I loved Royce's description of the shooting star.
Rising stars. Falling up. I had to say falling up. Yeah.
They are just so magical. They're little fairies.
Mm-hmm.
That electrifying, like little stardust.
Yeah.
They just elicit so much magic, awe, mm-hmm. beauty.
I'm imagining the dreamer in a very dark, thick forest in an evening with her flute playing music as the fireflies rise. As the stars rise, and feeling very much at one and contributing, not just enjoying that circle of they are giving to me, I am giving to them. We are all the same, we are connected. The trees are in dancing in their very deep and slow dance along with the music of nature along with the music of the world. So this is where I don't know where my dream is going. And I find the dream asking, you know, for me is, what am I willing to give up to join this elegant experience of total immersion? What am I willing to give up for this? And I know in some forms of dream work, there is some form of question that is asked of the dreamer. If I am going to incubate a dream, what am I willing to, you know, give up to have the incubation of the dream materialize? So am I willing to give up what I know of my life right now and become immersed in this scape of nature? That's a tough question for me. A lot of grief I'm imagining for me.
Well, my decision to move to Half Moon Bay, California was probably not the wisest for a musician who needs some sort of recognition in the world in order to make a living, I guess. But somehow I made it work just because the land spoke to me. And I loved the image of the music of the fireflies and the communion, and then my flute music. And it's funny because it is that magic somehow that I'm drawn to. And I do know that my father chose my name after reading the tales of King Arthur, because Vivian was Merlin's mistress and the Lady of the Lake and the Bear of Excalibur. So it's almost like I guess that's why I'm always seeking these and I feel like my life is very magical. And so rather than sacrificing something, I just want to transform where I am and then end up in a new magical environment.
Mm-hmm. If it were me, there's a place in here about the part of the DreamWork toolkit that I always have to remind myself is that the dream doesn't come to tell me just what I already know. And I feel like I, as the dreamer, I continue to tell myself what I already know about this. So this, I need to break, there, all dreams break new ground. And so what is it that I'm unconscious to still about this? Why was I gifted with these snippets of dreams on my travels that show me doing things that I know I love? That falls under the category in my version of, I already know this about myself. So what new information is this dream trying to bring me, is what I would ask.
What new information?
Right. Because it's written in metaphor. It's not written in a, it's not giving me directions on, okay, I want to move here and I want to move here because. It's like, I already know that. So it has something to do with, like I said before, the you know, for instance, I thought about the fireflies and I thought it's talking about the element of fire. It mentions that. So so that, you know, here I am in this unknown, semi-familiar forest. It seems familiar, but it's not really. I don't really know exactly where I am. And I know I'm waiting, but I don't know what I'm waiting for. And I seem to be entertained and delighted by the fireflies. So what is the fire element that needs to come? As I'm in this wood element represented by the forest, and then the fireflies come in. So there's something in my version that it's talking about some fire element to bring into my life as well.
Hmm. I like that. I mean, I feel like as a Leo, I am fire, but and then the other dream brings in the water element.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the water element has always been very important. Like when I lived in front of the ocean for 15 years, and I feel this craving to live either next to a waterfall or a river right now. So that's, I just know that that's just very important to me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I'll take the ocean too, but oceanfront property is more expensive.
Yeah.
But bringing in the fire, bringing in what fires me up. What fires me up is nature.
Yeah. I think this dream helps me to wrestle with these questions that right now are not very answerable. This reminds me of when I and other dreamers have a dream that took place, you know, 30 years ago, 15 years ago. And because I've had all of this time to process and think about what I think the dream means, that if I share it in the today version with some new people, it's going to be hard because that the meaning that I have forged over these many years ends up being is so crystallized that in order for me to see new meanings, you know, if I'm remembering an old dream, it's still working. However, I still may be giving it the meanings of years ago and not letting it be provide new meanings, new information for myself at the here and now. So it's like we have to chisel away at that in order to see what newness it's bringing. So I experienced that in this dream. The dreams are new and fresh. However, my yearnings that are somehow encapsulated within the dream are very much a part of me and have been for many, 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 many years. And so I keep struggling with trying to wonder, what is new in this dream? I know I want to live by water. I know I want to live in a forest. I know. And so I keep strategizing, and this is my projection, this is Royce. I keep strategizing, how can I make this dream come true physically, literally? And every time I kind of move and or try to get a different perspective and see, I slip back into this amazing vision. And again, the vision is true, and also this is not new to me. So how do I wrestle with this angel and not let the angel leave till the angel has blessed me with a new perspective, a new life?
Okay. A new fire.
A new fire. Yeah, do I quench? I like that word tonight. Do I quench? Mm-hmm. Like, do I quench my river? I mean, do I dam my river? Do I quench the fire? How might I be kind of holding myself back from fulfilling newer levels of my callings?
Yeah.
I like that, newer levels of my colleagues.
That resonated for me. It's like,
yeah, absolutely.
Why this dream now?
Yeah, yeah. Why this dream now? Yeah, it does resonate for me. I know too. And another aspect of this is, I don't know if this was said in the podcast that we are recording right now, but I think I heard the dreamer say, I had been in a dream drought, and then I go back to Chile and I have all of this energy of dreams. I've recorded, I assume, scores of dreams while I was there. And it's like the energy of the mountains, the energy of what I know as my homeland, my ancestral energy, people that I'm related to, people I'm not related to. All of this, there, it's like it rushes out of the forest, rushes out of the woodwork, rushes out of the lakes and the rocks, and the stones shall sing. So something is being tapped in me that is more than just, gee, I'd like to move there.
Yeah. That's good.
Absolutely. Yeah. It does wake up. I very much resonated with everything. And it's majesty.
So right now, I feel like this is ancestral energies, molecular energies from all of the above, the rocks, the stones, the mountains, the forests, the insects, and myself. All of these are experiencing the rush of newness, the rush of blessing each other. And as we've talked about in the past, if there are ancestral energies that occur in the dream, it's because I'm growing so much and they want to grow too. The trees want to grow, the fireflies want to grow, the water, my birth ancestors and others that have lived there for thousands and thousands of years are all rushing. And so they celebrate this molecular moment of new knowledge, of new growth.
Fabulous. Very well said.
And I celebrate with them. And again, I go back to the wounding of our earth. We all of us, the lineages of all beings of the earth, suffer and are grieving. So I believe this is an expression of that as well in my dream.
Yeah, there's a reminder too in my version. I keep thinking about fireflies and how they blink and then blink, and it's kind of like when I was a little kid, I used to imagine them as spirits. I used to think that seemed perfectly logical to me as a child. I thought, oh yeah, these are spirits that are traveling to and from, you know. And of course, you know, you get older and you learn science and you learn different things about how things work, but I never will forget the magic that I felt when I was a kid and watching them. That because they're so unique, they're so incredibly unique as a creatures, you know. It's like, wow. So there's something fierce and delicate about fireflies, would be my projection. They seem to like carry the light, and they're just, we know that they're certainly influenced by the climate change and the certain pollutions that we've put out into the world. Like I was saying, I remember lots of butterflies when I was a kid, and I rarely see butterflies now. I mean, they have certainly been influenced, just like the bees, with the pesticides that killed, because they're the pollinators, you know. So it's so there's something, I don't know, there's something about the fireflies that's deeper than just, oh, I'm intrigued by them. There's something about their essence, and if it were my dream, I'd learn even more about them. You know, how they exist, why they exist, you know, they're little beacons of light throughout the night.
I'm curious where the dreamer is with this. Is a lot of stuff that we've been projecting, and I'm wondering how the dreamer is able to process and hold this at this point.
I love the beacons of light. I love everything, all the imagery that's come forward. What I love to do is I listen to the podcast again and again before falling asleep, and I let it then transform dream. Into another other dreams. And new
I
dreams.
Dream into it.
Mm. Yeah, I dream into it. So mm-hmm. I look forward to doing exactly that. Mm-hmm. I very much delight in doing that.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. There's a lot to process. And as I hear the dreamer saying, this is how I do this, this reminds me to invite the listeners to, you know, to call in on our dream hotline and to give their own projections about this. I mean, this can be a dream group of hundreds of people. It is a dream group of hundreds of people. And so every one of these amazing listeners who, shall we say, represent a firefly at a time, and are carrying light to do call in and project upon this dream, to help all of us, because this dream is coming for all of us. Mm. For all of us. Mm-hmm. And in the larger sense, it will take all of us to not only grieve with our Mother Earth and our universe, also to help us join in the yearning for survival, mm. and how to stop the people pollution.
Right. Mm. Is there anything else you wanted?
I just very much appreciate all your words. I love the blending of each stream of consciousness that comes through, and it's sort of braided with what I start with, and it's like a soup that comes together, and then I get to taste it and bathe in it over and over again.
That's beautiful.
So it's just so magically delicious. So thank you.
great metaphors. I love it. Yeah. That's cool. Well, I think Royce brought up something that's important too. We always have to look at the layer of the collective piece of the dream. You know, how is the dream speaking to all of us at the same time? Not only just us in this small group, but all those who hear this for themselves.
Yeah, and like Royce was urging, nudging, if you do have thoughts about the stream, your own thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to, if you have a dream snippet of your own, we'd love to hear from you. Our dreamer hotline is 720-573-9195. 720-573-9195.
The voicemail
operators
is standing by.
Standing by.
Right. Like we're on a call center. Oh, that's
cool. Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll. So,
well, always we encourage you, the listener, to tune into your dreams, to write them down, to call them in, to work with either one of my colleagues here, Billy Ortiz can be reached at wakeuptoyourdreams.com. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on at Wake Up to Your Dreams?
Well, I offer private sessions throughout the week, and then I also have a daytime group and an evening group that meets to, you know, different times of the month. It's all available on my schedule at wakeuptoyourdreams.com. I also help train people to learn how to do dream work at the Rocky Mountain Institute for Projective Dream Work. I'm also in partnership now with Adosa Wellness, and I'm going to be teaching some, offering some free dream groups and materials through there. So Adosa Wellness, it's on my website, first on the homepage. So check it out.
A lot brewing over there. And royspitz.com, also a magnificent dream weaver. What is going on at royspitz.com?
Well, I offer spiritual counseling and dream work, open-hearted soul searching. I invite you to consider giving me a call via my website for a free consultation about a dream and or other aspect of your life that is settling in upon you, so that we can work for your health, healing, and wholeness and expansion of who you are. To live authentically in the world. I'm getting ready to have my book published, The Geography of the Soul. Subtitle is Dreams, Reality, and the Journey of a Lifetime. And sometime later this spring, that will be out. The introduction is on the website, so you can go and receive the introduction to see what in the world that book is about. And I am honored and grateful that this will be in the world for all of us. And I want to emphasize how the sense of dream work, and how all three of us, and as the listener or the viewer, how you, all of us, are a part of something much more grand than we know. And in Viviana's dream about looking at how can we repair the earth, how can we repair ourselves, because as we heal ourselves, we heal the earth. There is an amazing circularity in this work that we do. So I am grateful for all of the molecules who are listeners and participants in our effort.
Beautiful. Thank you, Royce. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it's time to wrap this up. We are the Healing Dreams Project podcast. Please like and subscribe. Refer your friends. We are on Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Royce is on TikTok. Mm-hmm. We're on Instagram, iHeartRadio, Pandora. We love hearing from you. So if you send us a little comment, we might air your comment up. We've done that before. So, or a review, we love to hear your reviews as well. So, until next time, keep the language of stories, symbols, metaphors, and archetypes in your heart, and share them with a friend and or with us. Happy dreaming.